And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one.
That's right.
That's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, yeah. This week's podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
No gold today?
No, because it's been a weird week. With Patrick in England, I've had my hands full doing stuff, so I didn't get to grab a gold.
Well, I'll tell you what. Since you don't have one, I will go ahead and give you one.
Okay.
Are you ready for a live gold?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Okay, hold on. Let me get the little thing. Everything you hear inside of the beeps is going to be Big D's live gold.
All right,
and here we go.
Mind games, sir? There you go.
That's classic.
Classic. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
So I was feeling pretty good about my brackets the other day, like during the first four. You know how they did the first four games? I was killing it. I was doing so well. I was like number one in the brackets. I go to bed and I wake up this morning. I'm number 80, like 85 or something dumb.
Yep.
It's not cool. I was number one. What a fall from grace.
You picked some funky stuff, man.
I did that because I'm the king of the upset. I believe that if you go for the upsets, you're going to be the guy who, you know, does that. Like, you know,
a lot of your 8-9 games, like your 8 seed versus the 9 seed.
Right.
Those games.
Those are hard to pick.
Those are hard to pick. And so, but usually, you know, you're number one to a number whatever. Those are pretty easy to pick. Bubba picks whoever's going against the number one team, usually. He has
not
Lipscomb.
Always.
Lipscomb is the big upset. That's who he has. They're beating, who are they playing?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. And
that's going to be the one that's going to just put me so far ahead. Everybody else. Everybody else is going to be like, oh, nobody picked Lipscomb to win that one.
Well,
and I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to go, I did.
But. You know, the chances of that are very slim.
That is going to rocket me to number one again.
I think it's like 17% chance of that.
17% chance. That means it's better than a 2% chance. That's 15% better than a 2% chance. That's huge. I'm going to totally do this.
Anyway, I think it is fun to do. It is fun to do all the brackets, man, and get into it and stuff. Even if you don't, like, I'm not a huge NCAA basketball guy.
You're just not a,
I'm
big
not a basketball
guy.
I used to. I used to love basketball.
You and I played. Yeah. We did some two-on-twos, and we beat some pretty stout competition back in the day.
Yeah.
A couple All-American women's basketball players, both of us, taking on two All-American. Both ladies, both went on to play in the WNBA.
Did they really?
Yes, and you and I played them. And we're not going to say their names because it would be horribly embarrassing.
I don't remember their
look
names.
Look at us. But you know, but yeah, there were two All-Americans who ended up both playing in the WNBA, and we beat them. And it wasn't just like, you know, it was a game of 21, and it wasn't like 21 to 19. It was like 21 to maybe 11, something crazy. And I don't know how it happened.
Well,
I mean, because I can't play basketball.
I think they had a girl who, I think she was like 6'2" or something like that. So it's not like they were like super tall and, you know.
I don't know, man. I still don't know. It baffles me. But it's like, I wish somebody would have.
Baffled you?
Yeah, that we were able to beat them. I mean, dude.
Baffle me.
Here he goes.
No,
I am
seriously.
Man. Hear me
it's
roar.
The only reason why we even played him was I knew we were going to beat him.
And remember, like, we did the thing and we did it for the radio. We did it so we taped it. Audio-wise, we didn't film it or anything because this was back in the day. Nobody had YouTube. But we taped it, and then, like, we had to start shouting out the wrong score so it sounded like they were beating us because we wanted to help out with school spirit. You remember that?
I do not remember that.
And we totally faked it and made it to where they beat us. But in reality, in front of their own coach, we trounced them.
I'm trying to find you on the brackets. I don't even see you.
I dropped even further?
I think so, man. Beth Fitzgerald, I think is her name. Who's winning our
Is she winning
Fredrickson?
All
Beth Fredrickson.
Or is she sharing with Carson, who just walked in?
No, there is a three-way tie.
A three-way? I thought it was like four or five-way.
It's three-way now.
It's changing.
I don't even see Carson on here.
Uh-oh.
Carson,
you maybe somebody lost then.
You dropped.
Or maybe I'm looking at the wrong one. I don't know. Anyway, it is fun to do and get involved, and you know, a lot of workplaces do all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I've watched. I'm keeping up with games. I'm keeping up with people I've never even heard of. Don't know where they are. Yeah. I love all the little sleeper schools. You know, little Cinderella teams.
Like I said, Lipscomb, when they beat North Carolina, everybody's going to be wowed.
Yeah,
everyone's going to go.
Man, listen, I'm all for it, man. I hope just for the sake of fun that Lipscomb beats North Carolina. But
I picked them to do it.
They're not.
Yeah, because who doesn't love the underdog upset?
I know
story,
everyone
right?
does, but also you got to go. Then you got to go. Well, do I want my? I mean, do you want to win or you just want to just have a good story?
Both.
I kind of want.
I mean,
both.
Could you imagine winning with a good story?
Yeah, that's the ideal.
Winning or having a good story doesn't have to be the only option. Winning with a good story could be the other one.
I have been watching. In fact, I'm watching one of the games now. Watching. Providence, Texas A&M. Yeah. And I'm watching it on that YouTube TV service that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I love it, man. I keep going, you know, each week. I'm like, I'm that guy. Like,
Think you're going to check
I
out
I love
on
it, and then I don't. But so far, I'm really liking it.
Right.
And I love the DVR version. You can tape anything you want, record any shows, and it's unlimited. So it's pretty cool, man. I find there's only a few shows that I even care about. Like I like the Carbonaro effect on True TV.
Right.
It's the best.
You are a big fan of his.
Golly,
I'm
so
telling
good.
You need to go and discover the. I would never because I don't watch regular TV. I just don't. I watch a lot of weird stuff. But I started watching The Goldbergs, and I've told you about
this. I saw
that,
before. And I'm going to watch it. It looks great.
The Goldbergs is great.
It's the best show.
So good. You will love the dad.
Yeah. Murray's my boy.
You will love him.
Well, we know. You know, and it's cool, too, because like Jeff Garlin, who plays Murray on the show, was in the studio with us. He does comedy tours and all that. So I go through my old photos. And I'm like, look, Frank, I'm going to find Murray. He's like, you know Murray? I'm like, yeah, man. So we go through. Not only did we have Murray in the studio, but also the neighbor, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
The bald guy.
Yeah.
Bill was in the studio with us, too. Like, within weeks after, I'm like, look at that, man. We are connected to the Goldbergs.
Well, you know the daughter, you know, she sings a lot on the show.
Yeah.
They let her sing. She's actually touring.
She's doing a country album.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's her thing. Like, she's a Texas girl. She's like, I'm going to do. Yeah.
I've already got my eye on that one.
If she comes in,
that's
let
what
me
I'm
tell
trying
you,
to.
If she can come into the studio. Like, she was on Craig Morgan's show.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2 weeks ago, something like that, maybe last week, whatever it was. But yeah, if she could come in, I honestly will do a late check-in for Frank because we watch the goal. I mean, we've been watching now 4 seasons on Hulu, just binge watching together. And it's so cool because the whole family watches it together. We don't do that with anything else. It's hard to find a show that everybody likes.
Yeah, it's that good.
And it's fantastic. And so, yes, if that happens, Frankie's coming in here, and he's going to meet the sister.
That'd be cool. Hey, shout out to Louise McIntyre, who's in England.
Hey.
It's the afternoon there. I was surprised how many people ran into Patrick in London while he was there.
He's still there, actually.
He's still there. But
like Monday's his last day there.
He said like there was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 people who came up.
When is he back?
Tuesday.
Oh, I thought he was back Monday.
Monday, like afternoon or something.
Oh,
like after the show.
All right,
after
well, I'm glad I found that out now.
but yeah, it was crazy. Some people walk up to him and go, hello, are you Patrick?
Hello, Patrick. Are you Patrick Thomas?
Cheerio, Patrick Thomas.
He's like, yeah. I got to tell you, man, he's not here and he's never going to hear this. But man, that beard has got to go. It's awful.
It's his thing, man. It was just like whenever.
Why does he do that?
No, you're right. Because honestly, one of his pictures that he posted in the last like 2 or 3 days.
Well, he said he cleaned it up right before he left.
It needs to be trimmed. Really? A friend of mine sent me a message, and she said, "I will pay Patrick $10 to cut off that beard." She just said that last picture. It's just not working for him. It's his thing.
He gets into it. It used to be his hair.
It's the fever. Then, he gets these things. He gets these things that he's on. Like you said, his hair. When he had the long hair, then it became the straight long hair.
And then it became black. And then it became, you know,
and like
the
whatever it is his calling card.
The beard's not bad. It's too much right now.
Remember we tried to do Fedora Friday?
Way out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember the fedora was his thing?
Fedora? He had a purple fedora.
Purple fedora. He would come in. We're like, what are you doing? It had a feather. He goes.
Like a pimp hat.
I mean, how have you never told me this and showed me pictures?
How did I not know about this? It lasted for a couple of weeks, maybe.
No, it was about 2 months.
Was it that long?
Yeah, it was. And like his thing was Fedora Friday. So I started wearing mine just to kind of help him out because it was just fun to watch because he had that feather. I mean, who has a feather coming out of their cap?
Pimps. Exactly. Pimps. That's it.
It was awful. And he
was a Yankee Doodle.
He gets into this thing and he just needs to get that thing shaved down.
Yeah.
See how mine is?
Yeah. Low. I get why he wants the beard. I understand. It's just, right now, because it doesn't grow down, it grows out. Of his face. It does.
I know it does.
It grows straight out. And he just needs to trim
it
down.
And it's got this weird, it's weird. It's
maybe we need to get Vivek on board with this.
Hey, that's how you do it.
That's what I'm just saying.
That's how you do it. How have we not had Vivek in the studio while Patrick was gone? Like, why did none of us think about...
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't even think of it.
Because she could have filled in for him. Hey, Patrick's not here, but his girlfriend is. And that would have been great.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. Next time he goes somewhere, like vacation or whatever, we're totally going to do it. I do want to do this too. I'm gonna say something very weird, but if you're listening to the podcast and you also listen to us on the radio, or if you're watching on Facebook and you also listen on the radio, write yourself a note that when it's done, when you're done with the podcast, that you call the radio station management. We have so many people saying great things. Hey, Tammy, I love your show. Good morning, guys. Love you guys from Kimberly. I mean, just really Richard Reinier, just people saying really nice things. I thoroughly appreciate it. But you know what? Management never hears those things. And if you love the show, you should let the radio station management know. Just go on Google and look up the radio station business line.
It's human nature. The only time you say anything is to complain.
So so if something happens on the show and somebody feels like complaining, then they're going to immediately barrage the managers and say, here's what I don't like. Well, why not when you have something you do like? Why don't you say something? Yeah. And I appreciate it ahead of time. I'm just going to thank you in advance if you do that. Because I just think it's a good gesture. And maybe that's something we should all try to do a little bit more of. Instead of complaining about stuff, why don't we thank people for doing a good job? It's kind of like a verbal tip. You know, hey, you got somebody at the thing. Not only do you leave a tip who's at the restaurant if they're doing really good job, say, hey, is your manager in?
Have you guys ever went out of your way to contact a company about an employee that they did so well?
Yep.
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm. What was it for?
I don't remember.
I've done a couple. I was on a few flights, a few legs with Delta Airlines, and their flight attendants could not have been more lovely to me. So I made note of all their names, and I sent an email to their corporate office with the flight numbers and their names and saying I just wanted them recognized.
I've done that too.
And then I had a guy, and it sounds stupid because Disney World is known for, I mean, they bend over backwards to take care of you, but there was just this one guy who was so spectacular. I stopped in at guest relations on the way out just to compliment him.
Wow. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've done it several times. That's why I said I can't remember any one off the top of my head because I've literally done it at least a dozen or more times. And it's just nice. And you feel good. Like when you hang up the phone, because the person on the other end is always surprised. Am I right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're always like, oh, okay, well, great.
And their whole demeanor changes.
Yeah. It's,
oh, okay. Really?
They expect you to serve them a bowl of suck, and you come out with something delicious, and they're happy.
I sent an email once about how thrilled I was with my Haagen-Dazs ice cream.
Wow.
Well, they made it in these little containers, which sounds stupid.
Like
but
pints?
No, but they were smaller than pints. They were single servings, which sounds dumb, but if you're dieting and you want to eat, like I can go through a Haagen-Dazs pint with no problem. It's 1,200 calories. But these little single servings, I think they were 250 or 300. And I just sent an email like, wow, thanks for providing this because you know, I am dieting, I'm calorie counting, but it's nice to be able to do this. And so in return, they sent me like all these coupons, which was not the reason I did it. I just wanted to let them know I appreciated the product and please don't discontinue it.
Wow. Nobody has ever sent me coupons for anything. Like, yeah, not for saying something nice.
You can do that. A lot of people get free stuff that way by just sending complimentary or compliments.
Yeah.
Complimentary letters, I guess, to them, emails and to the company. They'll do that.
We should all do that. We should start writing our favorite things.
Yeah, see what you can get for free.
I've had a restaurant.
And it's my birthday next month.
There's a restaurant that I used to frequent, and I would show up at like 3 p.m, so it was right between dinner and lunch. They're slow. And it got to where the servers knew that I was nice and that I guess I tipped well. And I would be rewarded like every fourth meal that they just wouldn't charge me.
Oh, wow.
They'd be like, you're on us today. And I was like, and I'd still like throw down a 10 spot for a tip, but because, you know, you serve me and, you know, yeah, thank you. Because it's right. Still way less than what I would have paid. And it was like.
That's a good point. If someone gives you free stuff, you need to tip on what the total
was. Yeah, yeah. Yes. But it's the weirdest thing that just, it sounds silly, but it's one of those when you recognize that being nice, people notice it. Because I guess a lot of people aren't.
A lot of people who are negative and are, you know, gripey all the time, they get a lot of attention because people tend to want to please them, you know, and you find that you're always, like a lot, you may have a job where you have a boss who is very hard and it's hard to please, and you find that you do extra stuff for them because you want to please them. With a person who's really cool, you don't do anything because you're like, oh, they're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's again, human nature. But just kind of remember that and kind of keep track of that and don't do it.
My dad is the king complainer, man. Like he goes to a restaurant and he's the guy who'll leave a dime on the table.
Oh.
You know, oh, the service is bad. There's a dime. I'm like, oh, Dad.
You know, I went out once. It was like in XXXX, many X's ago boyfriend, but his aunt and uncle took us out to dinner.
Aunt, yeah.
His aunt.
Aunt. You're outnumbered two against
yeah,
one.
I know.
It's aunt in this room.
You can say jambalaya next.
But we go out to dinner and his uncle, we sit down at the table and it wasn't like a super fancy place. It was nice-ish, but we're all in like shorts and t-shirts on vacation. And the uncle makes this big stink about, this is how I want the food to come out. Here's how. And he's arguing about like the appetizer versus salad, because I guess they brought the like salads out
first. He told them about the order. He
yes.
wanted everything presented.
And I am just sitting there. I've just met these people
two hours ago.
I mean, they're loaded. They have a boat. I get it. You know, I guess he's. But he is just, you know, coming down on the server. And what happens, whoever's running the food came out with the salads instead of the appetizer. And oh my, he made them take the salads back. Nope. I told you I wanted my appetizer first. Hmm. All right, bro. I mean.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
Yeah.
They should actually open up. I mean, let's just start that now at McDonald's.
Welcome to McDonald's. Ice cream machine's broken.
That's fair. But yeah, it was the weirdest experience because I thought like, wow. Right out of the gate, you're being rude.
People are jerks.
Oh,
just in general.
And you know, they took that back to the kitchen and...
That, yeah, and I mean, I'm trying to make that face where he can't see it. I'm like, you know what? I need to go to the restroom. Like, I'm so sorry. I don't know these people.
Don't spit in my food.
Yeah, please. Just give it to them.
The worst is when they take your drink and they go to refill it.
They take it.
No. Now that's bad too. But they take your drink from the table and they go, and your straw is still in it.
Uh huh.
So you don't know what they're doing to your straw. You don't know what they're doing. They might go, and then put it back in.
Gosh, I never even thought about
that.
Oh,
yeah. That freaks me out. I always come back and I go, oh, I dropped my straw. Can you get me another one?
Oh.
Yeah. I will not drink after. If they bring it to the back, it's done. I have to pull it out of the paper. And if they have those straws, like, you know, at the movie theater, how sometimes you hit those things and the straws come out without
yeah.
the paper. Oh, it freaks me out.
I hate those.
That's so...
I hate that. Because I'll tap it like 3 times so I get a fresh straw.
Same.
I don't want the one that's been sitting there. I don't know who sneezed
Same thing
on
with,
it.
With toothpicks, you
yes.
know?
Oh, yeah.
You go
yes.
and there's always like one or two that's just sitting there, the sacrificial toothpick. Like nobody wants it. It's like the orphan toothpick. And it's just sitting there and you're like, oh, you know what? There's nothing wrong with you, toothpick.
No. Pick,
but I don't know that. So I'm sorry. It's not you. It's me. And then you get another one. You get a new one right after it.
Right on top of it. Yeah. Like, sorry, bro.
I like this one because he's young and still cute.
I'm going to trade you in on a younger model.
It will be good to get Patrick back. And I think when he gets in, he will weigh on the scale. We will see. We'll see how much weight he's gained. We have a game going of how much weight can Patrick gain while he's gone away.
And I don't have the paper that had everybody's weights on there. Did he pick it up or do something with it?
I think he's got to have it in his office.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure he kept track of it. Yours was 21. What was yours?
I was 22. 13. Remember the number two? Got to go with two.
I think I did 13.
I can't remember what I did. 11, 7.
I honestly thought he was back this weekend. So now that's a whole other two or 3 days.
Yes, a couple extra days.
Oh, now I'm really rethinking that number. Oh, yeah. Bummer.
I think he finally realized that. I could be way off, but I think he got over there and he's like, oh, I can eat, because he's lost like 80 pounds, mm-hmm. 90 pounds, whatever. He was like, oh, I can eat whatever I want. I'm going to take just 10 days and just whatever. And I think he probably spent 2 or 3 of those days doing that. And then
gorging.
And then he probably went,
Yeah.
If I did that, I don't have a gallbladder. If I did that within 6 hours, I would be strapped to the toilet, not able to move, especially with like foreign food. Because you're not used to that stuff, and you're not used to the water and all that.
Yeah, I also am sans gallbladder. And what I find is if I eat too much fatty food, I feel it in my chest.
Really?
Like, I feel it in my heart.
That's how I get when I
get tightening.
That's how I get when I eat a whole bag of Reese's peanut butter eggs for Easter. Because I've done that several times.
Bubba doesn't have a gallbladder. You don't have a gallbladder. Uh-uh. Patrick doesn't have a gallbladder.
Oh, they took his out too?
Yep.
I didn't know
Big
that.
Big D's the only gallbladder-y person here.
You're holding tight.
Yeah. Yeah. What does it do? What's a gallbladder do?
It helps with some
It helps to produce bile, like produces extra bile to help the liver.
Digestion.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, but it's not necessary.
Do you have to change your diet because you don't have one?
No.
I mean, besides the fatty food making
there's a couple things, at least for me, that I feel.
You have
like I said,
foods?
With the...
Oh, I have trigger foods,
No,
man.
The first year, though, after it was gone, that was when I really felt it. That there would be, if I eat copious amounts of chocolate, then
chocolate?
I think because the oil, I think the oil in it would negatively impact me, that I would feel it, again, in my chest. But the further I get away from it, I think your body just adjusts.
Sausage for me. Mm. If I eat anything with sausage in it, see you later. Bye, guys. Yeah. It's been fun. It's weird. Like sausage. Why sausage?
Yeah.
What a dumb thing.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who's got problems with her gallbladder, and she keeps putting off going to the doctor.
Ugh.
And I'm trying to explain to her. I go, it just gets worse. The pain is horrible.
Yeah.
And trying to explain to her without being graphic, at one point I finally was like, okay, I had my last attack on Halloween night, and it is 2 a.m, and what was coming out of my throat was green because it was bile. It was like The Exorcist on Halloween. I'm like, but cool. You wait on that. No, your doctor told you there's a problem. Go get it out.
Yeah.
Get it done. Well, it's not that bad.
They misdiagnosed me for like 4 or 6 years, something stupid like that. And I would be in the studio like this. Remember this, Big D? We would be doing the show. And when I would have an attack, I mean, you know, I'd be, you know, you'd be buckled over. It's horrible. Like my wife, when we were dating, came in and found me on the floor just in tears in a ball. But we would be doing the show like this. And I would go, okay. Turn the microphone off.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to the side, throw up in a trash can, and then go,
it's
over the normal.
I never understood how he could do that. I was like, how are you doing that?
It was awful.
It was the worst thing ever.
The first attack I had, they brought me to the emergency room, and the doctor on duty that day was a cardiologist. And because
you said duty.
I said duty. And because where the pain, I guess, manifested in me was around my chest, he thought I was having a heart attack. So he's giving me nitro. And all this and
nitro.
Yeah, right. And it goes away after a few hours.
From American Gladiators.
And I'm like,
here you go. How are you? I hear you need me.
And I was like, all right, everything's cool. And then later that night it comes back. And I just stayed at home because I thought, well, I've already been to the emergency room and they said I was fine. They did the EKGs and whatever. So I just thought it was something I had to live with until it just came out of me the vomit was terrible. And the doctor, it was awful. I go to the nurse and I'm like, can you please give me something for the pain? You know, that's what drug addicts say. Nice. I'm there with my mom, and she's like, really, ma'am? And the doctor comes in, and he goes, this is a girl you thought was a drug addict? He was like, really? He's like, it's obviously your gallbladder. I'm like, thank you. Now give me drugs.
Yeah, you don't look like a drug dealer.
I mean, thank you for that.
I do. I like watching those meth commercials where they say, you know, they show you a girl who's really pretty, and then like a year later, she's like,
oh, they show you all the different mug shots.
Then the third year, she's like, and then the fourth year, it's like, it's crazy.
It's like The Walking Dead.
And I also like to see it the opposite way, where it's like, hey, this is what I used to be.
Yeah.
And then I get better and I go better. And here I am today and I'm cleaned healthy
up.
And cleaned up. And
yeah.
I'm but yeah, it is like The Walking Dead. They kind of like get like stuff on their face.
Yeah, because
like
they
marks,
scabs.
They pull
and,
themselves.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Did you guys hear about the girl who was on some kind of opioid? And she's a teenage girl. She went to the train tracks and gouged her own eyes out.
What?
Yes.
What? Yes.
No, I didn't
yes.
hear about this. What happened?
Did,
I mean, obviously.
She was tripping. And she went to train tracks. I don't know why.
She thought meth, when she was on meth, she thought God could talk to her. And she thought God was telling her to gouge her eyes out for whatever reason. No,
the only thing God was telling her is stop doing meth.
Yeah.
That's what God was saying. Stop.
Well, and now she's saying that it actually was a blessing because, okay, she doesn't have sight anymore, but she got clean. And she's very hopeful about her future, and she's saying it's actually a good thing.
Yeah, wow. She was very yeah. positive about mm-hmm. it. She was like, "This is, I'm happy. I'm glad I did it.
But like you, I mean, gouging your eyes out.
Both of them. Dude, I'm telling you, like she just has, she has her eyes closed, and there's like, you know when you close your eyes, you can kind of see where your eyeballs are behind it?
Yeah.
It's like, it kind of goes in.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing there. And because she did it with her hands.
Yeah. Oh my God! Right?
How about the guys who used to get on bath salts and go eat people on the streets?
That's incredible, man.
I mean,
this whole thing is like people are nuts.
Drugs will do crazy
that's
things.
That's the
too.
Point.
That's why I watch Live PD. Live PD is my show on weekends. I love Friday and Saturday nights. If you don't watch Live PD on A&E, you're missing out. It is the best show besides the Goldbergs on television because they show. I mean, they go up and they find these people just they're like sitting there tweaking. And
yeah.
Remember the guy you and I saw right outside of the casino? Remember that? The dude, Big D?
I'm trying to remember.
We made the block to come back and look at him again because he was tweaking so hard.
I mean, I don't remember that.
Oh, my gosh. It was like
that.
3 months ago. Anyway, but yeah, that kind of stuff is just, and you watch the show and you just look at the train wreck that people are.
It's sad. Man.
It's so crazy.
I think what else also is fascinating is the drugs that like the CIA or whoever use on people, like interrogation or whatever they're trying to accomplish. You know, like we can do this and it makes it look like it's a heart attack or whatever. Like they'll just walk by.
Like the Russians have been doing?
Yep.
In England this past week?
Yep. I don't know the whole thing on that story, but.
Oh, just people who are outspoken against Putin keep having crazy little heart attacks.
You said Putin.
I said Putin.
Yeah. And it's like that sodium pentothal that they say makes you tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow. Wouldn't it be great if we came in and we gave that to Patrick and we had to
truth serum
and he had to and the thing is here's the thing with Patrick you could just give him Alka-Seltzer
and you just tell him
that it's that
and
he would be like so this one time I was alone and I went and I broke into this liquor store and I've never told anyone it would be great
be like dude we just gave you something for an acid it's fine
He is very susceptible to that stuff. Like whenever he's been hypnotized,
mm-hmm.
please tell me you've seen or heard the old tapes of Patrick getting hypnotized. And
in the studio.
Oh my gosh.
And the guy told him, he goes, you are President Bush. This is during the Bush administration. And he turned into Bush.
Wow.
It was the weirdest thing.
It was weird.
Like he had cadences and Patrick doesn't do impressions.
Right.
He became President Bush at the time.
That's crazy.
It was weird.
It was weird.
Now, did you guys try to get hypnotized?
I've tried it once. You know, they do like on like the fair and you get on the, Every time you do that, I always think of like, Yo.
Boy. The Flava Flav.
Yeah, I did the thing where you get on stage and they say, who wants to do it? And I raise my hand. There's like, I don't know, 20, 15, something like that on stage in the chairs. And you sit there and you put your head down and he talks. And I'm trying to just like do it. And he's like, okay, I'm going to come by and I'll tell you. If I tap you on the shoulder, you need to go sit down because it's not working.
It's
not going to be not your thing. Mm. And like I gave him, I'm telling you, I didn't do anything to show that I wasn't giggling. There's nothing.
But he knew.
He came up to me, tapped me on the shoulder.
Hmm.
And I was like, serious? I was disappointed.
Because you wanted to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, afterward I talked to him and he says, I introduced myself to him.
You told him radio dude and all that?
Yeah. And he goes, oh, okay. He goes, yeah. He goes, I think there was like four of them that he tapped. And he goes, yeah. He goes, it just.
Some people just don't. Susceptible.
And you can just tell. Hmm. He goes, I've been doing it for so long.
I wouldn't even let them try to hypnotize me.
I think it's now that I think about it.
Dude, I don't want anybody hypnotizing me because you don't know what they're going to suggest when you're under.
Right.
You know? So like I might just be walking here and Big D might say, the sky is blue. And I might start, and that's his funny thing. I won't even know that I'm clucking like a chicken.
Well, I think the way hypnotism works, and I could be wrong, but I think you do know you're clucking like a chicken, but you just can't stop. That, you just feel that it's right, and that's what you're supposed to do. Patrick knew that he was...
After the fact, did he know? I don't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't like he didn't remember all of it. He remembered all of it. And he was like, I knew, but I just knew that I was the president.
Okay.
And he knew that we were going in there and asking him to do things, and because he was like... Like
he was mad at us.
Yeah, because we had told him to go into his studio and screen calls because people were calling in. And he goes, don't you have someone for that? And we're like, Oh, yeah.
And we're like, well, just answer the phone. And he was mad at us for putting him in.
Oh, he was like,
in the producer's room, like, because it was too small. He was like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He felt like he was imprisoned.
But he's done that before. He has a friend of his who does that, who's a... hypnotist for
a hippopotamus.
He's a hippopotamus. And so I think he likes doing it, but he's really, like Bubba said before, he'll go under pretty quick.
Wow.
Unlike a swimming pool. He won't go under very hours.
Just lay there
on the surface of the water.
Like the Red Sea, just hanging out. Is it the Red Sea or the Dead Sea where people float?
Dead Sea.
Where Moses.
Yes, I know. Well, dude, they're like not too far from each other. It's easy, and they both say Ed in it.
Well,
you know?
Sure.
Got a point there. What do you guys got big plans for the weekend? St. Patty's Day?
Kid stuff, man. I'm rolling kids from one party to the next. Ava's got a concert. Her band's playing on Sunday.
Sweet.
That's cool.
That's kind of everything revolves around everybody cramming everything into the beginning of the weekend with the St. Patty's and the Friday stuff. And then Sunday is going to be just family day to go listen to her play.
Sweet.
Hmm.
And you?
A friend of mine's having a St. Patrick's Day party, so I'm going to go to that.
Are you making any St. Patrick's Day appetizers that you get off Pinterest?
I was not going to. I'm hoping that she will.
Lucky Charms pie, which, by the way, a lot of people sent the recipes to us for. Nice. Thank you.
I'm going to spend half the day just trying to find a green shirt to wear. Because I think I have two. I don't own any green at all. So that's my whole big thing. I don't want to have to go buy one because that seems silly.
For one day. The bad thing is you buy one thinking, oh, well, I'll wait. This is my St. Patrick shirt. It'll be the St. Patrick shirt for the rest of my life. Well, the problem is I go up and down with weight, and my St. Patrick shirt right now is, it's not that it's too small, but it's too short. You know, because my belly kind of, it takes up a little extra shirt length. So if I raise my hands, my belly's poking out, and you get a little half moon, and you go, oh, it's a waxing crescent. Yeah. Look at that. The waning crustacean.
Green shirts are terrible.
Just in general?
They are. And when you're big like me, like, I wear a green shirt, and people want to climb on me and cut their grass. It is awful. And it's one of those colors that you just shouldn't wear.
Yeah.
Just
you have to be a very attractive person.
And they
to
don't even
look
then.
Good.
Even then.
No, dude. Mermaids.
No, they don't look good in green.
Mermaids look great in green.
They're better in a light blue. Much better.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, I am right.
Yeah, he's right about that.
Green is terrible.
Yeah.
Should get rid of it.
You guys are both wrong.
We will be, we're heading to Atlanta. We're doing a baseball thing for a couple of days and then headed back. And so that's it's going to be my St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Just watching 14-year-olds play baseball.
Mm. Woo!
Yeah. And all the fathers acting like, you know, they're 25.
Trying to get out of the,
you know, the minors into the majors. Get called up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't get why people. I'm probably going to play a lot of Fortnite. I think that's Frankie and I.
Still doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great because here's the thing, man. There's not a lot. When you have a 12-year-old son, there's not a whole lot of stuff that they want to do with their dad. So if you're the cool dad, now I'll tell you this. What sucks is we'll get on and we'll do these teams where it's four of us. So it'll be me, Frank, one of his buds from school, and then usually some random person from the internet gets thrown on our team. And so we'll be doing a squad deal and, like, we're in there and they're all like, okay, man, go run over here, shoot, build the thing, do that. And then I'll come on and go, hey, dude, what about the whatever? And the other kid freaks out. They're like, oh, there's an old person. I'm like, nah, I'm not an old person, dude. I'm playing Fortnite.
Narc!
Yeah, Narc.
Narc.
I was like, yeah, I can't be that old if I'm playing Fortnite.
It's like 21 Jump Street for video game.
So I have taken to where I actually disguise my voice. I'll be on there and I go, okay, dude, I'm going to go to the left. I do.
Did they buy it?
No, Frankie.
Oh, it's funny,
Frankie,
man.
Tells me, Dad, because, you know, his voice is changing. Dad, don't do that.
Is he still forcing it?
Yeah. And then, like, he loves when it cracks. Like, when his voice squeaks, he, like, goes over the top. If it squeaks a little bit, then he's like, squeaky gate. You know, he's like crazy, man.
Yeah, guys will, my boys, well, Gunner did, where they kind of... Their voice is really about right here, you know, the whole time.
But then they try to do this.
But then when they, you know, go talk to a coach or something, it's, hey, make sure you do this.
Yes, sir.
And it's awful, fakey sounding. And, like, everyone knows it's fake. It's not your real voice. Just stop. But Zach's was like, he was like this. And then he went to sleep. And he woke up like that. It was weird.
Like, wait, wow, what happened to this kid overnight?
I mean, he had a little change there, but not much. And his voice is deeper than mine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Frankie's almost taller than me now.
Mm.
Dude.
And I know Zach
my
and
dog
Gunner,
is taller
both,
than you.
Both of your kids are already taller than me. I'm taller than
Carson.
That's
like one of the biggest disappointments of my life. I remember my mother saying, well, you know, between me and your father, you're not going to be tall. But, I mean, you'll be taller than me. Lies.
Oh,
nope.
You're not
are you shorter
your
than your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It was so exciting when the boys were, but when Zach was born, and I called Bubba and I said, hey, man, let's let you know that it's a boy and he's taller than you. I kid.
No, you don't.
No.
Sadly, you don't.
How tall do you think Frankie's going to be?
He's going to be over 6 foot.
Wow. Yeah, I think so.
He's 12 and he reaches me. I'm like 5'9", 5'8", somewhere up in there. And he's all, I don't even know anymore because I think I'm
he's
shrinking.
He's 12 and he's 5'6".
Like, he reaches me to right here, dude.
12 and 5'6" is not going to be 6 foot.
You don't think?
No. No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Well, I'll tell you this. I still have.
I mean, he might. I mean,
I still have my
mind.
Old
good.
High school jerseys and things. I still have them from sports. He wears the same size I was wearing my senior year. Like, that's crazy. He's in sixth grade. And he wears my senior year clothing.
Yeah.
Good and time. I wasn't small. I didn't think I was small.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how big these kids are, man. You just don't even, I mean, it's insane. I'm looking at these 14-year-old kids.
Well, the ones playing ball, especially,
oh,
that you're
God.
Seeing.
Because then they start hitting the gym.
I'm going through the roster. I'm going through the rosters of these kids. And you see them. They're from all over the country, you know, coming in for this thing. And I see these kids. And it gives you a brief, you know, height, weight, position, school, and age, I guess. 6'3". 14.
Wow.
6'3", 230. 6'1", 6'2", five, you know, there's a bunch of 5'8s and 5'10s and 5'11s and that kind of stuff. And they're most of those. There are in that 6 foot and up range is probably 15 to 20% of the population.
Wow. That's a lot, though, for that age.
For that group, it seems, man, it's crazy. These kids are throwing, you know, 92 miles an hour.
At 14?
At 14. Last year's
national.
Are they
going to have an arm left by the time they get out of high school?
No way. No way.
I mean, that's crazy.
The last year's national 14U team, they had a guy who was throwing 92, they had a guy who was throwing 90, and then it was 88, 88, 88, 86, 86, 86, 85.
And by the way, to play in the pros, you basically have to throw 88 and above. Mm-hmm. You know, and the your top end guys are 105 at the most, you know, up in that range. But
that's,
most,
yeah, that's really
but
rare. That's,
but most guys throw anywhere from 92 to 99 miles an hour in the pros. And these 14 year olds are doing it.
Yeah. But he's right, though. Their arms are going to be
shot.
I mean, shot. You only have so many throws in an arm. Yeah. Like,
trust me, I know.
You only have, literally, there is a number. And I forget, there is a, you know, quantitative thing to it, but and after that, man, it's done,
dude. It's like 4 or 5 years ago, I went from throwing bullets. I mean, I could be at the fence and hit the third baseman without a hop. Man, I'm throwing 2 and 3 hoppers now, and I and you know, I'm not getting smaller.
No. It's just
it happens. Your arm just deteriorates.
Oh my! I played softball. Like when I was a kid and, you know, teenager and stuff.
Really?
And
well, the league's about to start in a couple
weeks. Nope, because I went to go throw a ball to somebody about a year ago, and it was like, I don't know that that thing went 10 feet. I was like, what?
Yeah, you're going to warm that thing up?
It was, oh my God, it was so embarrassing.
Did you call an Uber?
No, I think it was a tennis ball. I was throwing a tennis ball. Just, no, okay.
Yeah, I find the lighter
is harder.
Yeah.
It's harder. Okay, but...
Baseball's about
you feel
right
better thing. Now, don't you? You feel better knowing that lighter is actually harder to throw.
No, because you know why? Because even when I went to go throw, my arm didn't even remember how to throw right, and it was. I'm like, this is just embarrassing. Like, I pulled out a tennis racket. Like, you know what? I'm just gonna hit tennis balls to the dog. I'm not even gonna throw it.
I was hitting. We were hitting last night, and I was trying to throw some from the outfield, and I picked up the ball and I threw it, and I literally hit the back of my head with the ball. I'm like, oh my God! Hope no one saw that.
Yeah. Hi.
I'm like, how? What? How did I just do that? What? Yeah.
Dad,
yeah.
Why do you have string imprints on the back of your skull?
But my elbow was hurting. I mean, it was it's crazy. But yeah, these kids, man, they're big. They're
and what is it? I mean,
stronger.
Everybody says, oh, it's all the hormones we put in food and all that kind of stuff. But I also kind of think because people are getting bigger anyway, every generation since we can remember.
I think it's a mixture of better nutrition. This is the U.S. athletes anyway. Better nutrition. There is more push for youth athletics at an earlier age. There's more pressure. There's more available. There's more leagues. So if you do lacrosse, tennis, swimming, baseball, football, there are all these leagues.
And they're going to develop you.
They're going to develop you. And you want, you know, college baseball started doing verbal commits, which means nothing on both parties, so early on. You know, we're seeing friends of Gunners that were committing in eighth grade to SEC schools. Now, those guys are great players, no doubt. But
you don't know what's going to happen over the next 4 years,
you
5 years.
You don't know.
Yeah.
And not only with the athlete, but with the program. What happens when the coach leaves? And we've seen that, where the coach left a year later and the kid decommitted verbally. Again, it means nothing anyway. And then re-verbally committed to another school. But I think all that stuff combined, it's just making kids – bigger, faster, stronger. I mean, dude.
Do you think it's also because we don't have an apex predator above us, so we just keep getting bigger because we don't have to worry about anything anymore? Like, I think, like, you know, you look at, like, the pygmies in Brazil. I mean, those guys, they have to worry about, you know, whether something's going to eat them while they sleep on a regular basis.
But wouldn't they be bigger then?
No.
Are you saying bigger as in fatter?
No, just bigger in general in all ways. Taller, wider, whatever.
Oh, I don't know.
More muscular. It's like...
I don't know. You could probably get into it like in the kind of a micro level.
Look at old athletes. They were the best athletes of their day. Look at old boxers. They were the best of their day. But yet they look like nothing now. You know, a heavyweight back then was a guy who, you know, looked like me.
For instance,
they weren't like they are now.
So, you know, Tarzan, the TV show. So back in the, I'm kind of going off here, but I believe in the 50s, it might have, you know, early 50s, they were looking for someone to play Tarzan. And so they got the one who had the best physique was on a U.S. Olympic swimmer. Forget his name. You can look it up. And he had the fastest time in the world, broke world record for whatever it was for his event.
Nobody on earth was faster than this person.
This guy was the epitome of health. He was ripped. He was, you know, great shape.
Yeah.
This 2 years ago, a 13-year-old Chinese girl beat that record. So
how many people had beaten his record since then? Probably
everyone.
Thousands upon thousands?
Everyone. So your point is that what is going on? Why are these kids getting stronger? Why are they faster? Why are they more athletic?
And not just the kids, us. I mean, think about how much bigger we've gotten since we've known each other.
Yeah, well, I think technology helps. You get better information. I mean, think about all the times that we were growing up and it was like, hey, apples are great. Apples are bad. Hey, coffee's terrible for you. No, coffee's pretty good for you. I mean, and so science would come out and now we have better information. We have better research. And I think... sure, we still have the fad stuff that happens, but I think we are all better educated. We're not as dumb as we used to be, and that helps when it comes to nutrition and it comes to training. And from a physiological standpoint, why kids are getting bigger, I don't know. But I do know from a training aspect that kids are getting stronger because they're training. I mean, dude, Gunnar's 14. He's 6 foot tall and 180 pounds and is – in great shape, but he stands out with kids. Most of the kids around here that he's with,
yeah.
But he gets into a regional thing, and
he's just another number because a bunch of other kids are the same size,
a bunch of them or bigger. Yeah. There's a lot that are bigger. I mean, it's not like a lot. You know, he's in that 15 to 20%, but he's with another 20%. He's with 20% that are as big or bigger than he is. And that's when you kind of go, phew.
Well, remember that kid like 2 years ago in the Little League World Series?
The kid
that was a giant.
The guy who crushed the baseball and went to
like 500 feet.
Yeah.
Which is major league, you know, all-star level hit.
Yeah. And I know that kid. He committed to Mississippi State verbally. Again, doesn't mean anything. And, you know, he's a great player. Good, strong kid. But kids are catching up to him. He, you know, what happens, a lot of those kids, especially in the little leagues, they peak early. It's the race to puberty in sports. So who can get there faster, especially, you know, for boys and girls, it doesn't matter. Whoever can get there faster wins. And at that 12, 13, 14, 15 range, it really varies. So you have Frankie may be, I don't know where he's at and all that, but, you know, if he – you're going to see a lot of those kids are going to lose that baby fat. They're going to get taller. They're going to get stronger. But now they're going to be able to play in these sports. And the kid who was the stud isn't the stud anymore.
Yeah,
because he got passed up.
It's crazy how it all works.
It is, man. It's just life. But that kid that you're talking about, I can't remember his name. The black kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, he was a monster. This kid was so big and so strong.
Yeah.
I mean, he stood out.
And he
now
he just touched that ball,
but
man.
Now you're saying everybody else is catching up.
Yeah, they are. I mean, he's not enormous. He has really great hips, man. He's got great hip movement. He can kill a ball. And those bats that they were using.
I think I found the gold for this week, by the way.
What's that?
He just had great hips.
You're going to pull that at me going, hey, he just had great hips.
It'll show up somewhere.
Yeah, it'll pop up somehow.
Remember, it's at the 48-minute mark or somewhere up in there.
Big D said, yeah, he just had great hips. But, yeah, plus those bats they're using, man, were so bouncy. All that stuff got changed this year. They changed a national change on all bats, and they deadened them. they're dangerous. These kids, like you said, they're getting stronger.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be a third baseman. You know what it's like. You play third.
It's
having
the worst.
A guy, you know, and what you're playing in is completely unregulated. So those guys.
No. We do. We have to use dead balls, and we have to use toned down bats and everything like that. Yeah. They
who tests that?
U-Trip, U-Triple-S-A.
You have a guy from U-Trip come out and do that?
No, they have
game?
To look for the U-Trip logos and all that. I know, but they check.
All that stuff. You pop the cap off, shave it, roll it, put the cap back on, and it looks legit, but
or
it's...
People
it's,
microwave their balls and...
It's going to be... Dude, that's your gold. Talk about my hips.
People microwave their balls.
That'll be yours. That's about the 49 mark. So I'm glad that that was able to come out of there. Be good. Anyway, I got to hurry up and get on the road. Anything else?
No, I think we're good for today. Again, thank you to our sponsor for the podcast this week, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My balls.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day, and we are done. Bye, everybody.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show
on
the radio. Every day.
They microwave their balls.
It was the podcast.
He's just got really good hips.
Sorry.